Well, good morning, everyone. And let's put that there. Okay. We have this on. Yes, this is on. Okay, we're in good shape. Great to see you all. We're in the last of our series. We've had 6 weeks of The Art of Neighboring. And up there on the board behind me, you can see the last five topics. And today's we'll get into. And so just a little bit of a review there for those of you who don't remember past last week, which is me often. So hopefully that's helpful. Couple of things. Back at the beginning, we encouraged you to do a few things. And the first was to come up with a block map, get a block map. There's these nifty magnets in the back. If you want, you can stick it on your something magnetic in your kitchen or your house or wherever to keep track of the people that you've gotten to know. And we encourage you to do that. It's also in the middle of the workbook thing, the study guide. But we encourage you to fill that out. And so just as a little bit of accountability, we started the series with three of these filled out, and now we have two more. So we only have three to go. And I'm sure we'll add more than that. But just want to let you know that we practice what we preach. So encourage you to get one of those. They're pretty cool. Although you can't write on them with anything but an indelible marker. So hopefully your neighbors won't move. So anyway, there's that. Second is the block map. We encourage you to, neighborhood block party. We encourage you to schedule a block party with your neighbors. And so if you don't know how to do that or you want some tips or tricks on how to do that, there's a nifty packet in the back. It looks like this here on the right. And you can get one of those, and it gives you some great tips and tricks on how to do that. And share that. If you end up doing a block party, we would love to know. A great place to share it is, well, with friends and community here, or you can put it up on the Facebook page if you want to do that. But we'd love to know how that went. So that is that. Let's see. Finally, we have the Art of Neighboring book. So this nifty book. Next slide. You see it here, now you see it there. So this great book. Has anybody had a chance to flip through this book? Does anybody want a copy? Because we have an extra copy. If you want to take it home and read through it, it's great. Jamie, you want one? Good deal. Anyone else want one? That's awesome, because now I don't have to choose. There you go, man. There you go. Or run a contest or something. So that's great. All right. We have a couple more in the office if anybody kind of gets a hankering later on. So we can do that. All right. Let's see. Final thing. Study guide. Okay. In the back. Nice big 46 pages. It's got all 6 weeks. If you haven't gotten one yet and you'd like to pick one up, we have some in the back. They have nifty fill-in-the-blanks, so it's real easy. Gives you some things every day of the week to be praying about and thinking through as we go through the series. So these are wonderful if you haven't availed yourself of these, but there's a couple more of those in the back. So, all right, that is it. And so let me just open in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We just thank you, Father, for your command to love our neighbors. We thank you, Lord, for this series, Lord, where we're encouraged to love our physical neighbors, the ones that live right around us, Lord. We just pray that this whole series has encouraged us, Lord, to be thoughtful and mindful of our neighbors and how we can love them more. And I just pray that today that your word comes across today, that your word has an impact. And so we just lift you up, Lord God. I just pray you give me the words that you need people to hear. So thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So today, I'll start with a little story. I'm a pretty outgoing guy. Some of you know that and have seen that, and that's great. And so naturally, I like to get to know my neighbors. I tend to want to know who's around me, I don't have too much trouble doing that. But in terms of getting to know about them more than just what's on the surface, can be a little difficult. It can be kind of weird. And so it takes time and it takes thoughtfulness and prayer, frankly, to get a little bit deeper sometimes. But of course, I can strike up a conversation with people. And so a couple weeks ago, I did that. I saw a neighbor out that I knew his name. I'd talked with him before, but it had been a good 6 months. He was out washing his car. And so I walked over there and I used his name, which is something I like to do if I can, because a person's name is one of the most beautiful words that they've ever heard. So when you say their name, and you've all done that when you walk up to someone, especially if they haven't seen you in a long time and they don't expect you to know their name, it's a great thing. You can just ask them, call my name. And so he lit up and we sat there and chit-chatted for a long time, or 15 minutes or so. But, you know, as it typically goes, it was, you know, what are you doing for the summer and how's work and, you know, how's the family and just kind of, you know, lightweight stuff. And that was great. I was looking to try to see if I could get just a little deeper than that, but it just didn't feel natural. So I, you know, we wrapped up the conversation and I strutted back across the street. But then it occurred to me, I said, you know, and this, you know, it's just cool when God does this kind of stuff. And he just said, well, some of you know, I love to take kids flying. And we got an airplane and I love to take kids flying because they light up. It's one of the coolest things. And so I thought, I wonder if his kids want to fly. So I turned back around. I went back over and I said, hey, your kids interested in airplanes, flying at all? And he goes, oh, he says, yeah, probably. I said, well, we've got a plane. Do you want to go flying sometime? And he goes, well, I want to go flying sometime. He's like, he says, I've always wanted to learn how to fly. And I just said, well, that's awesome, man. That's totally cool. So what was neat about it was that I got something deeper. I got a dream out of him, something deeper than just, you know, what's the name of your dog? And so it was totally cool. And I thought, this is great, because if he takes me up on that and we get to go sometime, that just means more time with him. You know, time driving back and forth in the car, whatever, time in the airplane. Time to get to know him at a deeper level. So I was just excited about that. It's really fun to see what God does and how God puts those things together if you're just looking for it and you're asking him to orchestrate those kinds of things. So that was really, really fun. And so today's topic kind of ties into that. What we're looking at today is called Person of Peace. And at a high level, in our relationships with our neighbors, it often helps to look for a person of peace. And we'll get into what that means as a way to really connect. We're looking for someone who's receptive and responsive to your offer of a relationship. Oftentimes, it doesn't happen. As we all know, you know, we can't be close to everybody. We can be close to a few people. So in a lot of cases, as you're looking for a person of peace in your neighborhood, you're going to get resistance. You're going to get people who are just too busy, or they may just be relationally full. Perhaps they've got plenty of people that they're in deeper relationships with. They may be strong introverts. They may just be in a different season of life. So then that's okay. You give them space. The point is to build a relationship in whatever way you can. So in a little thought on introverts, we were having a discussion about this the other day at home, and one of my kids said, oh, I don't really like getting to know people. I'm an introvert. And one of my daughters piped up and said, actually, that's not a good excuse. She says, I'm an introvert first, but it doesn't mean that I shouldn't go out and talk to people. An introvert just means that I like to recharge by myself. So you can't hide behind that. So I thought, okay, that's good. I mean, I don't mean that to be, you know, just saying, hey, that's a good point. We're all called to be neighbors. We're all called, whether we have a natural inclination toward it or not. The greatest thing is that God gives us what we need. God gives us the ability to carry out his commands and to do what he wants us to do. So introvert or not, this is great stuff. So let's see. The main point here is today in your neighborhood, go deeper with receptive people. And of course, that ties into the bigger idea that we've had for the whole series, which is to, you know, how do we link our story with our neighbor's story to God's story, right? How can we ultimately tie our stories together so that we can bring in God and relate God back to our neighbor and ourselves? So, okay, so in terms of this, we think about being receptive. So we're looking for people who are receptive. We're looking for people who are natural and authentic. In looking for a natural and authentic relationship, of course, we should be friendly with everyone. And as I mentioned, we're only going to get deeper with a few. And that's totally okay. You're just looking for those ones who are willing. And what does it mean to go deeper? Well, I kind of talked about it a little bit, but if you were here for the first part of the sermon when we talked about the block map and the statistics that came from the book about kind of the three levels, they talked about sort of three levels of getting to know your neighbor. The first being their name, okay? Your names, and that's, you know, a great start. The second would be the stuff like I was talking about, you know, the things that's easy to shoot the breeze about. What are you doing at work? What's the name of your pet? You know, where do you vacation? Those types of things. And we can go all day with those kinds of things and telling stories and this, that, and the other. But the deeper level are things that are often emotional or something, things like dreams, you know, long-term desires, things that career plans, life purpose, spiritual beliefs, right? We all know it's, you know, what, you don't talk about politics or spirituality, you know, so how can you get there? I guess politics, that would be a good one you could throw in there because politics usually is something people don't go there. But it could also be difficult things. It could be challenges. It could be physical issues, disappointments. It could be fears, anxieties, relationship issues. Things that the kingdom of God can heal, which is kind of neat. It's just basically anything that's past shooting the breeze. That's what it means to go deeper. Right? It's that, sort of that third level of engagement. So anyway, the Bible has something to say about this. There's a neat story in Luke 10, 1 through 9, and we're going to go look through and see what it looks like to find a receptive person and how to go deeper with that. So hopefully we'll get scripture with this. Good. All right, so I'm going to read through Luke 10, 1 through 9, and we'll go from there. So after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" So let's take a look at the context will say in Luke 9, the chapter before, Jesus has been talking to his followers about what it means and what it's all about to follow him. So he's kind of coming up to this. This is what it looks like to follow me. Okay, now go out and do it. So this is where he sends out his followers. So the first verse is interesting. He talks about 72. And if some of your Bibles may say 70, and in the Greek, There's plenty of support for either number, and it's no big deal. It's an open-handed issue whether it's 70 or 72, so we're not going to get into that. The point is that it's more than the 12, right? We all talk about Jesus' 12 disciples, and they went off and did this stuff, but in this case, he sent out 70. So it's the broader team. Really what his point is, hey, we're all in this. We all have skin in the game. Go out there and make it happen. And another interesting thing to say here is I don't think he pointed out and said, "You outgoing ones, go out." He said, "Doesn't matter what your personality is, this is what we do. So go out on mission." So verse 2, he begins to give them, let me just check. Yeah, we got verse 2 there. Okay, so he gives them instructions in this case. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And in essence, what he's saying is that we don't want spectators anymore. I don't need any more spectators. I need laborers. I need people to go out and do the work, okay? And those who are passionately committed to spreading the message of God. And it's cool because he's praying, you know, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would open your heart. So he's saying, you know, gosh, you guys, pray that God would open your heart and that he would open a door, right? And that he would open your mouth when the time comes. So in verse 3, we talk about the risk, right? There's the risk involved. And we all know what this is like. There's persecution. And of course, throughout the world, we hear horrible things about Christian persecution. In the United States, thank you, Lord, we have the worst we really have is relational persecution, or we have challenges relationally. So we all know about this when, you know, we talk about Jesus, or even, heck, some people just knowing that we're Christians. All of a sudden, there's a wall, right? Persecution, right? Something there. So he's just pointing out, hey, there's going to be persecution. You just need to be ready for it. And let's see. Yeah, always going to be risk. So in verse 4, he's talking about trusting the Lord for provision. So he says, don't take anything with you. God will provide. You're on mission for God here, okay? He will provide. And there's purpose in his providing, as we'll see in the next verse. If you show up with nothing, they really have no choice but to feed you. And that's important, the way this works. This is all tying together. So it's great. He'll provide the food. He provides for relationships to build in this way. The other interesting thing he says, don't greet anyone on the way. And that may sound to us, it may sound kind of, wait a minute, we're supposed to be out there making neighbors, right? So why wouldn't you say hi? Well, in Jesus's time, greeting someone on the way was a huge process. And it took often hours or even days to properly greet someone on the road. So that's what he's saying. He says, don't do that. He says, yeah, you can say hi, but get to where you're going. You've got an assigned town. You need to be there. That's the strategy, okay? Get to that town, find the person of peace, which we'll talk about next, and get to work. So verses 5-6, we are talking now about the person of peace. And he says, find a man of peace. Okay, person of peace. Who's hospitable. Look for a house that will take you in. A place where they're hospitable, open to being friends, and someone that you can start building a relationship with. And it's kind of interesting now to sort of think about this and say, all right, we're supposed to be in our neighborhoods looking for a person of peace. Am I a person of peace? Am I the kind of person who's hospitable and open to relationships? Am I the kind of person that would receive someone who, you know, knocked on the door? Not necessarily that that would happen, but would you, you know, if the neighbor was trying to build a relationship with you, if it was flipped, right? Would you be a person of peace? So something to think about, something to pray through. And so it goes both ways. In verse 7 and 9, we talk about accepting what's being given. And BJ kind of touched on this last week where he talked about the art of receiving. And so this touches on it here again is, hey, people are going to feed you. Let them. Let them feed you. There are people who just like to be generous. There are people who love to give. So love them in their giftedness of wanting to give. Right? Let them give to you and be blessed in that. That's a big part of it. There's obviously is boundaries that you want to consider. And, you know, if someone's being too giving, you might need to shut some things down, but you'll figure that out. But the point is, be receptive to having somebody give something to you. And in this case, it was actually really strategic because the table was, again, it's sort of what BJ was talking about last week. The table was a place of a lot of social activity. And if you ended up eating with a family and they had others coming in from town, hey, it could be a party, and you could really have a platform. So the final thing in these verses are talking about healing those who are sick. Again, in this situation where building the relationships with the people in the house and the others that come into the house, you'll have an opportunity to heal. And he gave them the power to heal. And what's really cool is that he talks about the kingdom, you know, tell them the kingdom of God is near. We didn't say it's here. He said it's near. The neat thing was that the healing power that the disciples had been given would give the people a feeling of what it was going to be like, a taste or a hint of the kingdom of God when it came in full. And of course, it came in full after Jesus died on the cross, and Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came, and the kingdom of God came. But what's awesome here is they're doing awesome healing acts and saying, hey, this is just a taste. This is just a taste of what will happen when Jesus comes in full. And he's not only able at that point to heal the body, but also the heart and the spirit and the soul. So really cool how it's all leading up. They're giving a precursor. They're building that and showing what Jesus is going to do. Okay, so let's do some application of the verses here. We're looking for the person, the family, the couple who is open and hospitable to becoming a friend. And these are the people that are open to going deeper, those folks that look like what Jesus was telling the disciples to look for in verses 5 and 6. And so, you know, in our case, we've been where we live, just up the hill here, for about 4 years. And one of our neighbors, one of our closer neighbors, you know, I said earlier, I love getting to know people. So I'm trying to get to know the neighbors. But these guys kind of standoffish. And it may have been because they were doing a bunch of work on their property and causing a lot of ruckus and taking out a tree and various other things that I think they might have kind of thought that maybe we weren't really excited about that. And so they just kind of were going to stand off a little bit. It could also have been that they just expected a contentious relationship. You know, people who share property lines sometimes just have that. And sometimes we did some things. There was a couple of things that we did completely innocently, but they actually threw some gas on the fire. It was just kind of the way it worked out. It was nothing hostile, but there were some heated words exchanged. I'm like, oh, great. So anyway, we weren't too excited. We weren't too sure how this was going to work out with these neighbors. But the neat thing is that over the years, the last couple of years, we've just really tried to be good and gracious neighbors. As an example, they have a wayward dog, and they call her the escape artist, which, okay, that's fine. That's fine. Anyway, the dog sometimes comes into our backyard to do business in our backyard. And you think, well, okay, so what's your reaction to that? My initial reaction is like, where's the shotgun? You know, what? Not that I'd shoot the dog, but or where's a rock, right? Okay, so I'm not happy about this dog in my backyard. And of course, my dog goes berserk, so I have to do something with my dog. But I think, okay, what can I do here to just be peaceful about this and to show grace? I'll say, okay, nice dog. Come on, nice dog. And I lead the dog back over to their house. Knock on the door. Here's your dog. Yes, she was in my yard. Well, okay, I didn't wasn't angry with them, anything like that. They just, you know, they're all apologetic. Oh, God, dog, I can't believe it. Tied it up, it gets away, blah, blah, blah. And so, but the neat thing was, is that I think that just trying to be that way and not, you know, not take it like a big deal, just try to deal with it and kind of relate to them. I mean, they didn't ask for a dog that was an escape artist, right? So it's like helping with a child, right? Somebody sometimes just needs help with a kid. We can help. I can help with your dog, okay? So I think that kind of thing has really helped. And we've noticed that over the last 6 months or so, it's been a better relationship. And they are, I would call them persons of peace. They do like to talk and relate. I haven't got much deeper with them yet, but I think there's a door there. And it's really exciting. So that's neat. It's just a fun fun thing. One thing we do also want to talk about, though, is being reminded of ulterior motives versus ultimate motives. And Stanley talked about this a few weeks back. What is really our motive for going out and talking to our neighbors? And it's just something you got to trust, you know, ask in your heart. We new Christians or young Christians, I don't know, sometimes there's this idea that I'm going to go out and preach to them. You know, I'm going to go out and tell them all about Jesus. I think we all kind of know where that can lead. So your motive needs to just be one of friendship and hoping and praying that someday it may lead to something greater, an ultimate motive versus an ulterior motive. And I have to just laugh because, you know, in my outgoingness, I call them strategies because I've been accused of having ulterior motives at times. But I do things that sometimes that I try to get to know my neighbors. I really want my neighbors to feel known. I want them to feel welcome. I want them to feel included and supported within our neighborhood. I would love it if all of my neighbors felt comfortable just coming over to ask for a cup of sugar or whatever, or calling if they needed help. And so I'm looking for ways to talk to them or to get to know them a little bit. So a couple of things I've done is we get beauty bark once a year and spread it on all the beds. You know, you got to put more on every year, right? So I had a load of beauty bark a couple weeks ago in the back of the pickup truck. Well, the easy way to do it is to back the pickup truck into the backyard where I can just offload it right onto the beds, right? But if a neighbor walks by, I can't meet him. So instead, I leave the truck parked out on the road and I get the wheelbarrow. And I dump it in the wheelbarrow, and then I take the wheelbarrow around, dump it, and then the kids get to spread it, and I go back and get more. But I'm out on the road. Sure enough, a neighbor drives by, and she stops, and she goes, "Hey, where'd you get that stuff? That looks really great." And I'm like, "Well, let me tell you all about it." So I get a handful, I go over, and I start talking to her about it. It's dark fine mulch from Pacific Topsoils. It's over in Malt B. It's $30 a load. It's awesome. You know, it's great stuff. And she's like, "Oh, that is so cool." She goes, "Well, she gave me her name. She says, "I just live right over here." And she's one of my neighbors. She's, where is it? Right here. There she is. Da-da-da. So really cool. And so now I know another one of my neighbors. So it worked. The strategy worked. And it was just to make a connection, right? So really fun. Oh, no. Did I leave my place now? I moved my paper around. Good. There it is. Okay. So then another story. Oh, yeah. This is great. So names, right? Names. How many of us, "Hey, Bill, yeah, really great to meet you." What was his name again? Dang, what was his name? I can't fill in my black chart. I forgot his name. So there's a nifty little tool online. It's called the King County Parcel Viewer. And if they own their home, the name is right there. So you can go up there and look at their name. And if it's William, you can say, "Yep, it was Bill. That's what he said. It was Bill," or whatever. But you can get, and then their last name is there too. So you know their last name and you know just a little bit about them. And actually, you can find out a lot about them if you really want to. But again, my motive is not ulterior. My motive is eternal, right? So I just want to find out so that next time I can go up and I can say hi and I know their name. And so that's something I do. Yolanda says, she says, "You just stalk people." I said, "No, I don't stalk people. I want them to feel welcome." And then the other thing that we've done before is, you know, power outages around town. We don't have them much in town. We're, again, right up the hill. It's usually not too long, but we had a pretty long one a couple of winters ago. And so we had a generator and a half-full freezer. Well, let's go ask people if they need freezer space, because it's been 8 hours and they might be losing food. And we had a time where we'd lost a bunch of food, and so I didn't want that to happen to anybody. So we go around the neighborhood and just go door to door and say, "Hey, hi, I'm John. I live right there. Do you need any freezer space? I mean, we got a freezer." So anyway, it was a great way to talk to people, great way to get to know people. And one of them actually took us up on it. So it was pretty cool. So anyway, I'm not looking at those times, obviously, I'm not looking to go and share Jesus with them, right? I'm just looking to make that connection, looking for a person of peace, looking for someone who I can build a relationship with. And so, you know, yeah, it's just, you never know when the Spirit is going to move you. So that's the other thing, is I would say it's important to get to know your Bible in a few places. Specifically, 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us that we need to be ready to give an account for the hope that's in us, right? You never know. Maybe one of those chance encounters might go deeper right away, and you might have an opportunity to tell people about why you have a hope, why your eyes are brighter, whatever it is, why you have a halo over your head, you know, whatever it is that someone wants to know. They've seen you, whatever it is. So it's good to know your Bible. And if there's a couple of verses, perhaps verses out of Romans that have some of the salvation messages, it's just good to kind of have those tucked away. So I encourage you to do that. Just be ready. Be ready. Being ready actually takes away a heck of a lot of anxiety in these cases, right? So anyway, we just want to we want to love people, whether they become followers of Jesus or not. We're not out there to convert them. We're out there to love them. And hope and pray that it goes further someday. All right, so discovering the person of peace. Yes, very good. So how do we find this person of peace? We're looking for people who are hospitable and open. And there's a lot of things that we could say about it, but two things that kind of stand out. We're looking for someone who's receptive. Receptive to your relational initiative. As we know, anybody who's a good friend is someone where it's a two-way street, right? I mean, it's not one-sided. If you're just sitting there yakking away and the person's just, I gotta go to the bathroom, you know, something like that, that's probably not a receptive person. So you want to be looking for someone who's receptive, someone you can connect with naturally. In terms of relational is more... Is this a person, they may not be openly, you know, they may not be super receptive, but they may be really clearly relational. Someone who starts immediately talking about a deeper topic, or someone who's got a lot of people around their house often. Maybe they've, you know, every Friday night, there's cars up and down the street. You could probably say that's probably a relational person, someone who likes interaction with people. So those are two things you can look for. So then... Say you find somebody who's a person of peace, and now you're thinking, okay, great. How am I going to connect my story to their story, to God's story? You know, how are we going to get to that ultimate motive? How are we going to move it along to that point? So that's really where you kind of go back to where Jesus was telling his disciples, you know, ask God for the harvest. And that's where you're asking him, Lord, open my heart. Open my heart. Open a door to talking, you know, to open a door to these people, and then just tell me what to say. Open my mouth. I might not know exactly what I would say in a given case, but again, maybe you've got, you know, you know what you're going to say if someone asks you about your hope. But the point is that these are things that God will give you, and it is his command, love your neighbors. So you gotta expect, just like Jesus said, don't take anything with you. God's going to provide. God's going to provide here too. He does that. So let's see. I got to make sure, yes, I'm on the right slide. All right. So a quick story on how this was really neat. I've talked a little bit about the introvert-extrovert thing. So you may be feeling like, okay, I really struggle, or just say it this way. Making relationships, making new friendships, getting out and talking to people really is a challenge for me. It's just uncomfortable. I don't like it. It's totally fine if that's the case, but there are other ways. So my wife, Yolanda, is an introvert. She does wonderfully relationally, but it just isn't her first. She's not going to be out on the street. She's going to drive the truck to the back, okay? That's kind of, think of it that way. So... But there was a great opportunity she had a couple of years back when we lived in Sammamish. One of our neighbors who we didn't really know, we heard that they were having their first child. And after the child had been born, it was a couple months later, Yolanda just thought, you know what, I'm going to just shoot a note off to her. So she wrote up a neat card, and she included in it a poem, a biblical poem that had been meaningful to her when she had kids, little kids. We still had little kids, but they were really little at that point. Anyway, what was totally cool is that really made an impact to this gal. And she had been really struggling with the best way to manage her career and motherhood. And that poem, that reaching out, Yolanda sharing a little bit of her story with this other gal's story, really made an impact. And it opened a big door. We became really good friends with those guys, and it was no big deal to go deeper relationally after that. So that was a pretty cool kind of a, not front-facing way to go after somebody. So it doesn't have to be something that's uncomfortable. Just ask God, where's my giftedness? Where's my giftedness to reach out? And in the case of Yolanda, it was just a letter. It was a note. It was a nifty card and a poem. So that kind of stuff, you can always do that. So what's really cool is that we can be bold in our neighborhoods. We can step out looking for a person of peace and being a person of peace because Jesus was the ultimate person of peace. And it's really neat, John 16:33, where he said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, you know, when sin entered the world, there was a wall of hostility that was put up between God and man. And when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he took that weight on himself when he died on the cross. And he provided a way for us to reconnect to God. And instead of hostility, there's now peace. So anyone who knows Jesus as their Savior knows that peace with God. And anyone who wants to know that peace, you can have it. You can have it. You can ask Jesus right now. You can just stop and pray, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I am sorry for what I have done to build that wall of hostility between God and me. And I believe that on the cross you took that sin and you atoned for it. And through you, Lord, I can have peace with God, and I can have peace with you, and I can become a person of peace. So, Lord, I just ask you to save me now. So, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. I will also say that if you did ask Jesus to give you peace, that please, we'd love to know about that. Please come and find me or one of the other leaders after the service. It would be wonderful to know. We can pray with you. I'd love to tell you more. All right. So the art of neighboring. As we finish this art of neighboring series, we want to think about how our different relationships with our neighbors might be if we took Jesus' command to love our neighbors seriously and literally. So think about the healing impact of Jesus' love in people's lives as we look for opportunities and not obstacles or loopholes. I guess we were doing opportunities and loopholes to love people like Jesus loves people. So think about what it would look like if we were more interruptible in our time and we chose to create the margin to connect with our neighbors. So imagine if we entered into the mess of our neighbors and expressed interest in their lives and in their stories, and as we asked questions and we listened with motives that were ultimate and not ulterior, and what if we learned how to become vulnerable and to receive help with humility from our neighbors? Imagine what those relationships could look like with some of the more receptive people in our neighborhoods. And imagine the extraordinary impact that we might make for Jesus as we simply love the people who God has put right in front of us, right in our own neighborhoods. And that fulfilling the command to love our neighbors. So thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you, Lord God, just for loving us so that we could love others. Thank you, Lord God, for breaking down that, for going to the cross so the wall of hostility with God was dismantled. And instead, we have peace with God. We thank you for that peace, Lord God. So help us, Lord, as we seek and desire to fulfill your command to love our neighbors. Father, that you would give us the ability, that you would give us the words, that you would give us the heart, that you would help us to open our mouths or get out our pens or something else that we could use in our own giftedness to be a gift to our neighbors, to love our neighbors. And I do pray, Lord, that you would help us to find that person of peace or persons of peace in our neighborhood that we can go deeper with. And from that, we can have a broader impact in our neighborhood. So thank you, Lord. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I will invite the worship team to come back up and get ready for a final song. But as we close here, I want to talk about some next steps that you can take. First of all, if you ask Jesus to be with you today, if you asked him into your heart today, we would love to know that. The bulletin, somewhere I have a bulletin to show you. The bulletin has this nifty connection card in the back that you can just tear out. We'd love it if you could fill that out and just say what happened. Or you can come and find myself or one of the other leaders today, and we'd love to talk about it. We'd just love to know that. If you are a Christian and you have not yet been baptized, that is a command that Jesus gives us. And it isn't a punishment. You know, thinking about jumping in the river and, you know, 40-degree water is that exciting. It's not about that. It is about telling the world and making a statement to the world that I believe in Jesus and I'm a follower of Christ. So if you're interested in baptism or would like to just know more about it, please let one of us know or fill it in on your connection card. There is a newcomers class that we do periodically called Starting Point. If you haven't been to that and you've been coming for a while, we would love to show you and talk to you a little bit more about adventure and how you can connect more within the body here. And finally, it would be really great if you could just make a commitment to just say, I will discover the person of peace in my neighborhood and be asking God, the Lord of the harvest, asking him to make that a reality for you. So thank you very much.